Hello. I just wanted to mention, if you're listening to Ringside View podcast on any of these platforms, iTunes, Breaker, Cashbox, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, please give us a like, a subscription, a comment, and follow us on all these platforms. We would greatly appreciate it. Also, follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Pro Wrestling News Tracker. We're also on Twitter at Ringside View Pod. We are also on Instagram at Ringside View Podcast. So follow us on all these social media platforms. We would greatly appreciate it. Hey, everybody. Robert Jesse Dominguez with Earl the Pearl, Ringside View Podcast. How the heck are you, Earl?
Well, first of all, you cut out. I didn't appreciate that.
Did
you
I really?
You changed this whole layout. Yeah, you just cut out. You talk about me going in the red, and you're here. You are cutting out, Mr. Professional Podcaster. If anyone's listening, hashtag Free Earl, the Pearl. I'm over here in Attica. All behind bars, behind bars. Can't have my gains. Apparently, I'm taxed. Some people.
You're just a bill, man.
You're like Brian Myers, and I'm old poor Matt Cardona. You just put me down for the count. No woo 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 anymore.
You know it.
Sorry. I hate your face. So I don't know how I sound on here, because before I had all the background noise and stuff, and
yeah.
Now did you hear the guy?
I can barely
did you hear him.
I can barely hear
him. Oh, that was him. He just drove by. I was one of our listeners. He was like, oh, they're on. Yeah, everything's been turned down. I feel like I'm losing my hearing.
can you hear yourself okay?
No, I mean, I hear myself outside the headset, but
do you really?
Not like it was before, yeah.
Just increase it a little bit then.
No, it's fine. It's good.
Okay.
It's working better, because you can't hear me get up off my bed and move. And
yeah.
It's better for the listeners, but for me, it's different. But
that's well, okay.
I'll go back after you post it and listen to it like I do every week.
Right.
I'm one of our viewers. Hey, I'm not only a member, but I'm a viewer. That was backwards from the saying that it used to be, but yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, go back and listen to it and tell me what you think, and then we'll adjust it. I don't know.
I listen to every one of our podcasts.
I mean, because like to be honest with you, on Bigfoot Club, Steven's like, because Steven has the same mic that you have, and
yeah, the blue.
For some reason, his distortion is way off charts, and like
turn his gain down.
I don't realize it whenever like I'm recording it. And then, like, whenever I go back and listen to it, it's like super loud. I have to like download his track separately, and then like I have to reduce it a lot, and then like add it back, and so it takes. There's like an extra step on editing and stuff like that. But
I'm not showing myself in the red like you said. I was going in the red. I'm barely even hitting yellow, so I'm like the same level like you are now.
Okay,
so.
Well, good deal.
We're on equal footing. Apparently I don't have the high ground anymore, so. Maybe Star Wars was wrong. You know, maybe you're going to make a comeback.
Yeah, just as long as you don't say, I hate you.
I mean, I'm saying it inside because you made me turn down my game. We have so much to talk about. Like, I thought last week was good.
Yeah. I want to say this before we get started. This was on last week. I've been watching AEW Dark. And there was a match with I can't remember who it was. Ricky Starks and Brian Cage against some squash guys.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, and like Brian Cage was going through his motion, and then whenever Stark would like tag in, he would watch what Brian Cage was doing. Like if he was doing like his thumb across his throat, like it, like this is over, you know. He would do it, and like he would look at like after they had won the match and squashed the guys. Brian Cage was doing like stuff with his hand gestures, and Ricky Stark was watching him, and it was doing the same thing he was doing. So I was watching that. I go, I love this.
So good. He's so good.
He is, and he's getting better, man. I really, I don't know. I just feel bad because I didn't know where he was before. I didn't know anything about him.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I feel that way because, like, some of the wrestling groups I'm part of, like, people talk about like where he's from. Like, yeah. Like, oh, we always knew he was going to be big when he was wrestling. I was like, man, I feel bad. I didn't know anything about Ricky.
Yeah.
Starks. Like Eddie Kingston. When he first came in, I was like, I know him from somewhere. I just can't place it. And then you had been like, oh, he was on Impact and stuff. I was like, what? So I went back and started watching older, like when him and Mox was in the feud together, the whole program. I went back and watched some of his like early stuff and watched some of his matches against Mox and stuff. I was like, man, this guy. So yeah, I like what they're doing. They introduce you to some people and then you're just like. But I have to say, I have been a fan of a certain wrestler from Lucha Underground, Marty the Moth.
Right.
He goes by his last name now. He can't use Rodriguez, so he goes by his real last name. And then he had gotten hurt. He got hurt on his stream that he did his gaming. He had a gaming and a workout stream, and he got hurt. And the doctor said he wouldn't be able to wrestle anymore. And he did some stem cell treatments and stuff. And he's building up his stuff. And then he's been training at the Nightmare Factory.
Uh huh.
And he wrestled on Dark this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was just so great to get to see him wrestle again. And he had put a thing out there on his Facebook page where he was like, you know, to the doctors who said, I'd never be able to do this.
There he goes again.
You heard him that time,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he listens to us. Like, I don't know how he knows we're on every week, but that's what he never. This is the only day he does that. There's never any other nights. It's crazy. Thursday's his drag night. But yeah, so he put out there that, you know, to all the people who say I couldn't do this,
look
what I've done. And he's in the best shape.
He looks better. And he
was super excited.
He was on the original Tough Enough, wasn't he?
Yep, he surely was. And but I like that they did the little Lucha Underground throwback because he got to wrestle Cage. So yeah, so I'm excited to see what they decide to do with him from here on out. So.
Wasn't he with Thunder Rosa for a little bit? Wasn't he with her?
Was she Mariposa?
No, she was the Moon.
Oh, okay, yeah, no. He was with his sister Mariposa.
Okay, that's right. You're like a scholar when it comes to the Lucha Underground.
I love Lucha Underground so much, and his fiance has a streaming channel. She does fitness, and I was like, oh hey, I made a meme, and she's like, yeah, put it in the Discord, and I put it in there, and it was the one where I had face paint. And I said, feeling cute might kidnap sexy star and do something creepy with a light bulb. I don't know, and she laughed at it, and he thought it was funny too, and I was like, the thing with the light bulb is what made me a Marty the Moth fan. And he said it's why he liked Lucha Underground, because he got to be creative. And fun fact I learned from him on his streams is the guy who played Mil Mortis was supposed to be Marty the Moth.
Wow.
And he looked at the character because they made it for him. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And they're like, oh. And they liked Marty. So they were like, okay, well, Marty, you're going to Moth. And they rewrote the entire character. And that part with the light bulb, they told him, they were like, we need you to be like the Joker. And he's like, okay. And then that was just off the top of his head. And he did the whole light bulb scene and stuff like that. So
I remember Stone Cold used to call him Donny Osmond.
Yeah. He did look like Donny Osmond, though, for reals. I didn't like him on Tough Enough. I thought he was cocky.
Yeah.
And then when he was on Lucha Underground, I was like, wait. I know that guy. And then ever since then, and like my friend Phil, who loves Willie Mack, loves Marty the Moth. Marty Moth was like one of the second wrestler to follow me on Twitter. The first one was Crazy Steve, and I love Crazy Steve too.
Yeah, so. I do too.
But other than that, let's talk wrestling.
Because normally we change our format where we would talk about Impact and then last week's Impact, last week's SmackDown, and then but this week let's just jump straight into Impact Rebellion. Let's just jump straight into that.
God, that was such a good pay per view.
It was like God, I was so excited about it, Earl. I thought it was on Saturday, and I was like, it was
supposed to be a Saturday.
Yes, and so I was like, the boys left early on Saturday, and I said, yes, I get to watch this. And so I had like my Go Fish out and my drinks and ready to go, and I had put it on. It goes, it's 21 hours later. I go, what the heck?
What is this BS? listen, you got your goldfishes out. You meant business.
I did. I sure did.
You don't just spread out your goldfish loot.
No,
for no reason.
Absolutely not. So, opening match.
Yes.
Josh Alexander.
Oh, I want to preface this.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. I was at a pay-per-view party.
Uh-huh.
I went undefeated. I am not only Mr. Yeah. WrestleMania, but I am
Mr.
I even won shiny penny. And this has been an ongoing joke with all our friends. I even gave one of my shiny pennies to my friend Daryl, and we were in the 1% club, and we had filet mignons and peach bellinis, and it was great, and everybody was jealous.
You had to if you do that, you have to have an EC3 shirt.
I'm telling you, I'm about to make one. I'm just saying, I went undefeated because my friend Graham was there, and we were talking. He's like, I haven't watched Impact World Talk. You know more than I do. And I was like, cool. And we got to the Matt Cardona,
Brian Myers
thing, and he was like, I'm gonna go with Brian Myers. I was like, man, I really think Brian Myers is gonna win this. He's like, will you pick Matt Cardona, and then one of us will be winners, and it'll be good. I'm like, okay. He went with Matt Cardona, and I picked Brian Myers, and I won. And then he went on a three match losing streak. And then there was even one match that my friend Joey's like, I don't really call this, but I believe so and so is going to win. I'm going to put a shiny penny on it. I'm like, oh yeah, here's my shiny penny, and I put it down, and I won. And it was just to the moon after that, and I felt good. I went undefeated. I was great.
So the opening match, Josh Alexander, Ace Austin, TJP.
So happy about
which
this match.
I think those three guys are the top X Division guys.
They are. You know what people that listen know that we are the North. Love the North.
Yes, we love the North.
We love everybody about the North. So I was going, and I was like, he's going to win this. I know he is. And then I got scared a little bit because they saw but the whole match psychology, It was just so, so good.
I think it's kind of cool because, they let, Ace Austin hold this for a little bit. Yep. And I thought for a minute they were going to give it to TJP again because, TJ's been going over to New Japan Strong a lot. And he's been on that show a lot. So I thought maybe they're going to give him the X Division and he was going to carry it over there and blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of what they're doing with...
You thought wrong.
Yeah.
You thought wrong.
And I was happy with that. I'm so happy because I love me some Josh Alexander.
So good. I love my friend that didn't know it called him Earphones Guy because of his wrestling gear. Yeah. I'm rooting for the Earphone Guy. I'm like, man, Earphones. But we're going with him. That's going to be our winner.
Yeah, he's got good music. He can talk on the mic. He's so technical.
And it's funny, he doesn't look like an X Division. That's what was the funny
part.
But I was like, it don't matter, because when Daryl was like, he's not really it doesn't matter, Daryl, he's going to win the championship.
I mean, Willie Mack wasn't either, but, he held it for a while.
Willie Mack is very agile.
He is agile, mobile, hostile.
Yeah. All of that.
So that was the opening match, which I thought was a good way to do it, open it up, because I thought, those guys, they've been kind of carrying the product for a while, so I was kind of happy for them to open it up that way. So,
plus, D'Lo Brown was the commentator of the night.
Yes.
I even had my friend's wife was there, and she was like, he needs a haircut, talking about Matt Stryker.
Yeah, because I thought for a little bit he did get a haircut because he has his hair in a ponytail, and then he turns his side. I go, oh, no, he just has it in a ponytail. So
he didn't have the – oh, and my friend Daryl said, because they had the pre-show was nothing but the Game Maker's Gonna Win show. And it had our man Double Ponytail on there. And my friend Daryl just shook his head and said, it's sad. And I was like, what, the double ponytails? He's like, no, he's got the turkey neck. He's like, he needs to do DDP. I was like, we only get... I was like, of course he got the turkey neck. He's got the double ponytail. That's what happens.
So the second match, Violent by Design. Doreen, Diener, Rhino, Eric Young. Because apparently Eric Young got hurt during the week's Impact.
Yes.
Which I think, is kayfabe. But anyway. So
I think so, too. It was a way to bring in Morrissey is what he's going by now.
Yeah. Which is, what's his name? Big Cass. Or he's going by Cass XL on the Indies or something. But yeah. He looked great, man. He looked great.
Bro, let me tell you. Because we were talking about that.
Before.
And I was like,
off
like,
show,
what
right?
match is he going to be in?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, what match is he going to be in? No, I was even talking to them, my friends at the
okay,
party.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, Big Cass is supposed to make his turn. I don't know what he's going by. And they're like, where is he going to be at? And I'm like, he's got to be in some match. And then they, when the show started, they were talking, and I was like, oh, they just said Eric Young's here. I'm like, oh, that's how he's going to do it. And then whenever he was on the stage and he pointed over, I was like, oh, here comes Big Cass. And he came out, but man, he looked really good. And then, I know what you were saying is he said, you had told me he had been doing DDP yoga.
Right.
And then I saw the thing today, I saw it yesterday, but Big Cass was on DDP's web's Facebook page, and he was mm-hmm. giving his testimony and stuff. And I was like, man, because I was worried. I was like, if he's lying about this is a bad thing. But
yeah,
he looked, his intensity, his wrestling moves looked good. I was very happy.
He was in character from the moment he walked on the stage.
The psycho eyes.
Yeah.
And then tonight he's supposed to show up. I know one of my friends commented and said that, you know, they got the draft tonight, so it might be a little bit of a hit. He would have announced it tonight and had him debut next week.
Yeah, because, I was after I heard that rumor, I saw someone that posted that Hernandez was working, like, an indie show somewhere with Big Cass and Enzo.
Yeah, I saw Big Cass and Enzo had done an appearance somewhere.
Right.
But I didn't know Hernandez was part of that.
Yeah, I think because gotcha. I think because like the way I look at it, this is the way I look at it, yeah. Pearl, is that, you know, Impact doesn't have NXT to do stuff like that with, you know, mm-hmm. to bring people up or to bring yeah. people in. This is how we do stuff. So I think when Hernandez goes to like an indie or any Impact person goes gotcha. To like the indies, I think they work with like the current talent that maybe want to bring up.
Nice.
And kind of just say, hey, you know, this is how we do stuff.
Kind of, he's sort of like a scout.
Kind of, yeah. So
like a talent, so like a talent when, relation scout. Kind
so
of
I had read that somewhere, but I didn't see the video. And someone had posted okay. it somewhere. And I said, okay, well, yeah. maybe, you know, they were saying, hey, Hernandez was with Big Cass and Enzo. I said, well, maybe they're going to bring both. But then I saw a post like later on that day before the pay-per-view said Cass makes his debut. And I said, hey,
yeah,
oh, man.
I'm fine without Enzo. I mean,
yeah.
Like you say, I even said at the party, I said, as long as he doesn't talk, he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him to talk. I want him just to be the silent type for a while. But here's the thing. He didn't have the big belly like he did. Because, like right. I said before, he got to drinking really bad. He was in great shape. His moves looked really good. I was very impressed. And I was like, okay, well, let's see how well this keeps up. So,
Brian Myers and Matt Cardona had a match, and I don't know if this was real or if this was like kayfabe. But,
no, did you see? But the injury that he had, because they slowed it, like his knee.
Yeah.
His knee did not land right.
Yeah.
It like popped out. Like I don't know if like his kneecap just popped out for a second.
Yeah.
But I know in the match, like he went down there and stuff, and my friend Daryl, because he had tagged, I was like, if he picks him up, it's going to be a work. And then he picked him up, and then because he whispered something in his ear,
yeah.
And then he picked him up and did that. And mm-hmm. and if you notice when he did the move, like Macadona flipped and landed on his back or whatever he did, he didn't land on his knee. And I was like, you can take a bump. It doesn't involve your knee. And then it was a 1-2-3.
Yeah, because
and I saw they were going to update, but I haven't read the update yet about.
Because I was kind of concerned because like I thought it was a part of the like the storyline, but one of the refs was doing an X. Like an
yeah.
X. And so,
I think that they had to get an actual victory. Like the X wouldn't do it. So if right. you notice, he went down there and he said something.
Yeah.
And like my friend Daryl said, he probably was like, can you take one more? And then Matt Cardona said something and then he got up and then he did that move. But the move he did, he didn't land on his knee. If you notice, he's landing
yeah.
flat on his back
yeah.
and his knee was up in the air. So then he immediately went to cover and that ref counted really quickly, but not like a fast count.
Yeah.
So I think it was just so they could get a clear cut winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was an update and I haven't read it yet, but if it would suck if Matt Cardona was really supposed to win that match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Cause now I might actually be really hurt. So we got to flip it. Because there's no way you can say, like, he schoolboy rolled him up or anything. That mm-hmm. wouldn't be believable. So,
no.
But it also will help further the storyline, too. Like, you only beat me because I hurt myself. If I was 100%,
yeah, you know what? Really you're absolutely right on that. That makes a whole lot of sense.
I think that would be a good way. Now, if that happens, that tells me he wasn't really supposed to win. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how they treat it on the upcoming impacts.
Yeah, I'm interested in watching it tonight. So I'm going to watch it probably after the show and check it out. But
I have to get close because I feel like I'm not talking very loud. There we go. It's going in the red. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Shh, don't tell nobody.
Okay. I won't post
anything.
That's
just between you and me. I won't post anything. Good. No. No one's going to know but you and me.
Okay, good.
This wait, it says News Troll Tracker. You just posted. Go ahead.
What's the name? Jordynne Grace, Rachel Ellery. And they're against Kerry Hogan and Tasha Steele for the Impact Tag Team titles.
I loved it. I was very happy.
Yeah.
With the way it ended. And I was very happy. You know, here's the thing. With the pedigrees that are there between Ellering and Jordynne Grace.
Right.
Very good. Now, we talked a little bit about it because Jordynne Grace has worked a lot. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like in the off time, like she has gotten more lean.
Yep.
And then Rachel Ellering was wrestling, and she was wrestling really good. You know, she just looks like she hasn't been in the gym. She's nothing wrong with her or anything.
Yeah.
And they won, and I was like, we saw it, and I was like, oh, if they win the titles will just hide that. She'll be fine. And then they took a picture, and they posted it on there, and they were like, thanks for everything. And she had the belt, and I was like, see? Problem solved. But, no, she did really, really good. I was very impressed with her moves. I've never seen, I don't know if has she wrestled before? Was she, like, in Glow? Not Glow, but, oh, what is the one? What is the one that is the women's one that goes around? Because remember when Impact was doing the thing?
Yeah,
you had the blonde haired lady that was part of the women's wrestling. They had a little thing on Impact. No, I'm sorry, they had a little thing on Access TV for a little while. That's where Santana Garrett was and stuff.
I can't think of the name. It's
is
escaping
she from
me.
There? I haven't looked her up or anything.
I haven't either. I haven't either. I know she does. She was like a lot of indies and stuff and.
Yeah,
she's well known, but it escapes me at this moment.
And it always worries me because the sordid tales of the male wrestlers who keep their father's last name.
Yeah.
So I was worried because I was like, well, they're making a big deal of her being Paul Ellering's daughter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But she did really good.
She did.
And that's the thing. A lot of the women wrestlers that have their dad's last name, they don't normally have the stigma like the male wrestlers do. Because they're not going to, it's not the same caliber. But her moves looked really good, the ones that she did.
She had a lot of good offense. A lot of good offense. I was really impressed. Because when I was looking at her, and I hate doing that. I hate, judging a book by its cover. I said, she's probably not going to do that well. But she actually surprised me, and I was pretty happy with that. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's the thing. Because, like I said, even with, Natty or with... or Charlotte Flair and stuff mm-hmm. like that, they have big name dads.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. And then, you have that thought in your mind, like, well, I know how they were.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she did really good. And their double team move they had was really good too.
Yeah,
I was really impressed. My friend Daryl even was done. He was like, she did really good.
Yeah. The next match was Trey Miguel and Sami Callihan. I was messaging you while this match was going, and it was hard for me to look at it because I love Sami Callihan, Jeremiah Crane as I call him sometimes. But I have a problem whenever people leave like tables legs up in the air.
We talked about that because the way he slammed them, I was like, whoo. You go half an inch to the left or the right. I was like, you're going to kill that poor kid because he could get impaled.
Yeah.
It was scary at a couple times. Like, I'm like, please, please no botches.
Yeah.
Because it was so scary. But I was very happy with the way the match ended.
Yeah. I was anticipating Trey was going to win this because Sammy's pushing him. And I love that that storyline, you know, that they're doing.
It's a great storyline. I was very happy with it. And I, you know what? I mean, even though how it ended, I think you could still continue that storyline.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, there's some that you're like, all right, great, it's gone. No need to continue that. But yeah, that has more like if you look at it, like the storylines that he's part of, they have more layers. And even though, like, when he was with Ken Shamrock, right? Mm-hmm. Even though Ken Shamrock's not there anymore, there was still a layer. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
He did this. He got in good with him. Now he's done with him. But now I'm going over here. So it's like a whole new layer. And because he lost, now you can peel back that layer and see, like, what is he going to get as, like, revenge or something like that. So I think it could still continue. And I think it would be a really good... that storyline, I'm like, I would like to see more. See if that is it, or if there is another layer to it, what it's going to look like. I'm very happy.
I'm anticipating that Trey's going to eventually join him.
I think he will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
or he's going to pull an AJ Styles when he was Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I don't drink. He's going to get in there just to turn on him. And that'll be even better. Because you know what I'm saying? Like, now yeah. I'm messing with you because Sammy Callahan or Jeremiah Crane is supposed to be the one that gets in your brain. So Trey Miguel, JC.
Yeah.
You know, JC's the one that gets in your brain. But now TM actually got into yours, and now he turned on you and you didn't see it coming. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
This next one, I was actually real surprised that the Good Brothers lost to Finjuice.
Finjuice?
Finjuice.
I wasn't. I mean,
because I was telling you, I was anticipating, because I messaged you this earlier. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if the Good Brothers win this, yeah. Kenny Omega's got to win. You know the Impact title, and like I was wrong on this. So But I was hoping that they were going at the end of the night, they're going to be holding all the gold. That's what I was hoping. But
I think I thought Finjuice was going to win it. And the reason why is if you notice, the Good Brothers are starting to look more and more like they did when they were in NJPW.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that when, because the travel restrictions are getting a little bit better for workers.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe they're going to win the Impact titles back, but I think they're going to do it on the road, like either in Japan.
Yeah.
Or like a New Japan Strong.
That would make better sense.
I think it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, that's...
I think it's going to be something like that. Because they can still play the card like, hey, we've beaten you. We've got, you know, you guys aren't what you used to be.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to win it something like that. Like, we came into your house and beat you. You came into us and beat us. Now we're going to come to your house and beat you. And then they'll get the gold back. That's what I was thinking. That's why I picked Finjuice to win. So I'm like, I think it's going to have a bigger payoff.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more of an impact.
So. Next time there's an Impact pay-per-view, you and I need to do picks like that. So.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it.
So this next one, the Virtuosa against Tennille Dashwood.
Oh my God! So this wasn't the shiny penny match, but this one I called Deanna Purrazzo, and I really thought because this was the one where like Joey was like, I was waiting for Joey to rub it in if I lost.
Yeah,
and she, oh my God! Like I for a minute thought Tennille Dashwood was going to win this, and I was like, my whole world was coming crumbling because man, they made Deanna Purrazzo earn that victory.
Yeah.
And she was the champ. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a good match.
So
it was like one of the... Like, both of the ladies' matches were super amazing.
So, apparently, I guess they had matches, like, in NXT or something, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. So it was... They looked like they were, like, you know, that they had worked together before. And, like, it was mm-hmm. it was pretty smooth. And I think it was, like, one or two botches, but the rest of it was, like... Was like but pretty
the,
smooth.
Yeah, the botches weren't even that bad.
No, they weren't.
Unless you were really looking. I mean, there was one I remember. I'm like, oh, that didn't look good.
Yeah,
but outside of that, that whole match was amazing. I really liked it.
Yep. So the last one, the one that we were waiting for, Kenny Omega and Richard Swann.
Kenny Thanos Omega versus Richard Swann. It was so... You know what I liked most about this match?
Hmm.
the Good Brothers and Don Callis stayed on the outside,
mm-hmm.
and then Rich Swann's posse stayed, and they never interfered with each other.
Yeah,
it was a match.
I think Chris asked me that. Chris asked me that on I think on Monday. He says,
"Oh yeah."
He goes, "Did the Good Brothers get involved?" No. Or did I go, "No, no, they sure didn't." So,
so we were joking because they had them come up, and I really liked whenever they had the banter between D'Amore and Tony Khan,
mm-hmm.
and then he made fun of. Who do you make fun of? He made fun of someone in Impact, and D'Amore had to bite his tongue. But then they had the two refs, and I was like, watch Aubrey. We were anticipating Aubrey heel turn. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, rips off her patch, and it says Impact, and she costed Kenny Omega the match. We were joking. And then Brian Hefner. Oh, yeah, that was it. They made fun of Brian Hefner.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about a fair match, and they were like, oh, fair match. Ref is Brian. What's your last name? And it made me laugh so hard. Dad, yeah. Because his dad embezzled. It was because we were talking about that, and I was like, that's what Brian Hefner. And they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, his daddy embezzles. He's a cheater. And then immediately Tony Khan said that. I was like, oh, they're listening. I was like, oh, it was so good. But yeah, Aubrey Edwards was fair. That's why Aubrey is the best referee in the entire world.
Yeah.
Like, she's better than any other ref. Like, she's straight down the line, took the chair away. And, oh, it was just so good. Like, she right down the middle did it well.
For some reason, I can't put my finger on it, but I am really attracted to her. I don't know why.
If you're talking about referees, I mean, she is the cutest and the most knowledgeable. So, I mean, NXT has a ref that's a ref for the money, but Aubrey's great. Like, I really love Aubrey Edwards. Like, the moment I seen her when they were talking about the refs for AEW, mm-hmm. I was like, Aubrey Edwards is the greatest ref ever. She's always in the right spot. She does the slide with the counts, everything. And she won't be pushed around.
No.
Love it. I love Aubrey Edwards so much.
Me too.
But yeah, it was great. I was really happy because Kenny Omega earned that belt. But also, you know, the Good Brothers didn't win. Now they get to carry the other two belts because Kenny can't wear all the belts.
No.
So now they do have gold. They're just carrying it for them. Mm-hmm. But everybody's got gold. With everybody in that stable, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 belts.
Yeah.
And there's 6 people.
And I like it. I like it a lot.
I do. I'm telling you, I love it. Oh, yeah. Daryl was making fun of him. He was like, Kenny Omega looked like he could just take a nap. Because he looked super tired on Impact. And I was like, of course. It's like when you carry companies on your back, of course you're going to be tired. He needs a rest.
Yeah, I was really liking the pictures after they won it. Like, he's laying on the floor, you know. Like, he was, like, smothering himself with the belts. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty
good.
I'm
waiting for him to have him in a bathtub, and he just gets into it like a bath. I'm like, oh, it feels so good.
This is what I'm hoping for tonight. I'm hoping, like, he's supposed to be, like, I guess the very last part of Impact tonight.
Uh-huh.
And he's supposed to be doing, a celebration. I'm assuming either Moose is going to come out or Rick Swann's going to come out, and
I hope
I can interrupt
does.
Him. But I'm hoping Moose does it on AEW.
God, I would really love that.
I would.
Need Moose. We need Moose to start a program with him.
Yeah, I do too. Let's jump over to Raw.
Nothing good. Nothing. I don't even want to talk about Raw.
The only thing that
I really don't.
The only thing that I'm really excited about Raw is this RK Bro.
Okay, so RK Bro was the Remember the one Raw that made me mad? RK Bro, you know, Alexa Bliss with the Fiend was the only thing that saved it.
Mm-hmm.
RK Bro, that's the only good thing about Raw. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Like the new announcer is not doing good. Like, I people like, I really want to love this guy, but I can't. My one Joey said he doesn't like the new announcer, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of hard to do. But he came at it with logic. He said, I got my phone right here, I'll tell you. And when he said this, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I think you're right. Here we go. He said, let me go here. Where's he at? I really don't like the new commentator. I don't either. He said he sounds like a baseball announcer and seems so out of place. And I was like, You're absolutely correct. He did come from ESPN up in Canada, but every time now when I listen to him, I'm like, you're right. He sounds like a baseball announcer, and that's not anything for Raw. So
right.
Yeah, that, but I did read that Jason Jordan is replacing, Laurinaitis.
Really?
As a producer, and they get to set up match, you know, they're the ones that get to create mm-hmm. and stage the matches. So maybe Raw's gonna get better. Like I said, I didn't like the whole Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he did literally almost die in the ring, and it ended his in-ring career. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So maybe there's hope that it's going to get better. But the first thing I would do to make it better is, well, there's a couple. But the first thing is let Adnan Virk go to like 205 Live. Let mm-hmm. him cut his teeth over there. Bring back Tom Phillips. And I never thought I'd say bring back Tom Phillips.
Yeah. But
God, it's so bad. It's bad whenever you listen to it and you want to hear more Byron Saxton.
Yeah, it is. It is bad. So RK-Bro was the best thing about it. The second yep. the second best thing about it is that Mason T-Bar no longer wearing masks.
But there's still Mason T-Bar.
I know. Hopefully,
I was listening to another podcast from one of the guys that I know from Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And that was the one thing that they said is they were talking about how, you know, you didn't think Rock could get any worse, but it is. And they said Mason T-Bar got demasked. And he was like, great, so now we got Dijakovic and Dio Madden. He goes, oh, no, creative. Even though you know this is Dijakovic and you know this is Dio Madden. No, it's still Mason T-Bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, why can't they just go by their real names?
And then I also heard that Mia Kim is got sent over to SmackDown.
Well, good. Hopefully that means Keith Lee will follow.
Yep. Okay, let's jump over to...
I know what that means.
NXT, my favorite.
So many good things.
Yes.
Where do you start?
Mercedes Martinez.
Okay, well, let's start there. That's where I would have started, but okay. Let's start
there. So I love this thing that they're building with her and Gonzalez, because I thought,
man, Gonzalez ragdolled the crud out of her.
Yeah, because this is kind of almost like it kind of like, you know, reminds me of like two teams that are good all year, and you know eventually yes. they're going to end up facing each other like in the playoffs. Mm. So these two I think are like the prime players right now, and I yes. think they're that top of their game, and I love both of their characters and mm-hmm. everything that they're doing. So I was pretty excited to open up the, you know, the yes. the show that way. So
I think before we start there, I think we should start with NXT's new opening.
Yes,
it is amazing.
They got like
updated it. They've updated it. They've updated the graphics.
Everything. The logo, yeah. Everything. So. Oh,
everything is so good. All right, now we can move to the next part.
Tommaso Ciampa and Toothless Timmy.
Toothless TT. Let me tell you something. I texted Joey because Joey's favorite thing that happens with NXT UK was shoes off. I hate Gibson.
Yeah.
when that first happened, that's the whole thing yeah. he talked about all the time. And every time he would see him on an NXT thing, he'd hold up his shoe. And whenever COVID, he was like, how am I supposed to know I'm supposed to hold up my shoe? NXT's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And then he started singing. Then Tommaso Ciampa held up his shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, and I texted Joey, and Joey's like, I loved it. As soon as it happened, he said, I took off my shoe. He's like, I was so ready for this. It was so, so good. I was very happy.
The Grizzled Young Veterans.
GYV. And they got their butt whooped.
They sure did.
God, it was so good.
I like, you know, Thatcher and yes. Tommaso together. I just, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do with them. They're probably not going to make them go after the titles, but they're just going to just keep them together. They don't really need titles, to be honest with you.
They don't. The titles is just a second thought.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I was very happy. I didn't know where they were going to go, and now they're going for the Grizzled Young Veterans. And I'm like, yes, please. I didn't know.
More
I
of it, please. That. Yes, I'm pretty yeah. happy with that. So
can I get seconds? Thank you so much.
What did you think about this one? Hopefully I'm saying her name right. Zayda Raymer versus Toni Storm, and she got and she got helped by Zoe Stark.
Man, I don't even know who this girl was. It wasn't a frog splash.
Mm-hmm.
She's shooting star press.
Yeah,
that shooting star press she did. Oh my god, it was right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I was very impressed with her, and I like the way it's going. Because, you know, even though Toni Stark didn't interfere the week before, she still put a whooping on Zoe. But this week, you know, Zoe interfered with Toni Storm, and then she got the dub, and I was very happy. I like this. This is the War of the Cakes.
Please
sign me up for the War of the Cakes.
So, you know, Raymer ends up winning, but really it was Zoe. Yep. It was Zoe's storyline with Toni Storm. So I kind of like that a lot. So,
and Toni Storm lost it in that ring. I was laughing. I was like, yes.
What did you think about Bronson Reed and Austin Theory? Go ahead.
I'm so happy that Bronson Reed is getting this push.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was so good on the mic until they gave him this push, and I'm like, he set the way for the big men, and Otis is doing the same kind of move as he does as a finisher.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm just so happy about it.
So, this match was really good, and I love Austin Theory's character, what he's doing, you know, and then Loomis comes out. Loomis to talk. I guess he wants to approach, you know, what's her name?
Indy Hartwell.
Yeah. So,
but you got to remember, you missed the big part of that because somebody sent
yes.
The two girls. What's their faces?
Shotzi
and Ember.
Ember Moon.
And they said they were from
Loomis. Dexter. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, no, I'm married. This is for you. And then they were doing that, and it hurt Indy's heart.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the whole thing is we talk about it all the time. Dexter Loomis's looks.
Yeah.
Right? His stares.
Yep.
They say everything. And he came out, and she said, shut up. You talk too much. And he's just staring at her. And I'm like, Indy Hartwell, I'm telling you, WWE listens to us.
At least NXT does. Yeah.
But everything about that. You know what I'm saying? Like she's hurt. She's hurt. He's trying to say, hey, it's not me. He's apologizing to her.
Mm-hmm.
She gets him. You're talking too much. He's just staring at her. Oh, I loved everything about this. It was so good.
It was so good. I'm so happy that even like.
And I'm waiting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You were saying you loved everything about this.
I love that whenever Loomis is not wrestling, they still because normally the way they kind of do things, they'll wrestle 1 week off the other, and then they come back like the following. So he wrestled last week, but they still you know bring time to bring him on, even if it's just like for this. And I love that.
And the thing is this: like he got on that little observer report about being too hype of a character, like he fell flat. He's not. Everything he does has importance. Like he's, like I said, I mean, everybody he's had a feud with has elevated everything, even if it's just like one match.
Mm-hmm.
I really love Dexter Loomis, and I can't wait. I believe they're building to the storyline where Indy Hartwell and or Austin Theory realize Gargano and Candice LeRae are just using them because they paid off. He paid off the therapist to get him to hate Dexter Loomis. I really think that it's Candice LeRae sending the stuff. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting because even if you look fast forward, they go back and they use that as fire. You know what I'm saying? And then that leads up to the match where it was Shotzi and Ember versus the Robert Stone brand.
Mm-hmm.
And they attacked him. And I loved everything about that, too, because he's celebrating like he's winning. I'm like, he does realize you can't change titles on a on a count out, right? He realized this is how wrestling works.
Yeah.
but he was celebrating like a kid, found some candy in his pocket. But I do like what they're doing. And like I said, I mean, it's really good. And like I said, when Dexter's on, it's got a purpose. And I really like what they're doing.
Yeah. It's not listed on here, but there was a segment of
yes, please, let's talk about the segment.
The segment.
I'm so excited. This is where I would have started the entire show.
Yeah,
but it's cool. Whatever. It's your show, Bobby. You changed everything.
I'm sorry. But Cameron Grimes goes into a jewelry store, and he's like, he wants to buy the most expensive watch, the shiniest watch, and the guy goes, "You have someone special?" "Yeah, me." so. It cuts off, but then comes back to it.
But you forgot the best part of that first segment. Besides, you have some of the comedies. Yeah, me. He goes. Take all the time. I got take your time. Take your time. Hurry up and got all day.
So it cuts off. It cuts the segment off, and it goes back into wrestling and stuff. But then it comes back to it, and I'll let you do this. The rest of the one on this. So go ahead.
So then the guy gives him the watch, and I can't even hear it tick. You sure it's working? And then he's looking at it, he's like, yeah, I think that'll do just fine. And then all of a sudden, another watch, you hear the guy's like, "Nice watch, kid, but it's not as good as watch as this." And this watch comes up with diamonds all around its plate, and he looks up, and then you hear the laugh. And it's the $1 million man, and then Cameron Grimes like, ha, ha, and then he walks out the door laughing, and he opens it, and the door slams, and he's still laughing. Oh, I love, and I'm so happy, and I hope they do more. I hope the $1 million man stalks them.
They have to do more. They have to.
It's the payoff was there. I've said it from the beginning. He watched the video.
Yeah.
And you cannot have a $1 million man payoff.
Nope.
And I said, if he's there, he either has to laugh at him, mm-hmm. or there was another thing, I forget, but he laughed at him. And here's the thing, I love the $1 million man's laugh. I'm a big fan of laughs.
Yes.
His is the pinnacle. I love it. I try to laugh like him anytime I can get it. But and then on Facebook, $1 million man even posted on it, and he said, I was out watch shopping, and I ran into this guy, and he was making fun of Cameron Grimes. Like, yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh, it just makes me so happy.
He's still in character. He already outbid him.
He is. I said he needs to embezzle. That's what it was. I said he needs to take Cameron Grimes for his money for embezzling, because $1 million man had a little bit of a thing pop up many years ago about that. But anyways, he's already made fun of him. So he's already outbid him on the NFTs, because they even said his name. And that's not something, and I was just talking about the party. I was like, if someone outbid you like that, they don't tell you who it was.
Yeah.
So the moment he said he read the letter and it was for the $1 million man, I was like, he's going to make an appearance. He has to.
Yeah.
He's already done that. He's made fun of his watch.
You were calling it.
And he showed the better watch with all the diamonds.
I just want to point that out. You were calling it. You were calling it weeks ago.
It's so good. So yeah, next week I need him to taunt him some more.
Or either that or manage him.
I want to see him in his car.
Yeah.
Looking for the $1 million man, and he's having no luck. And then the $1 million man's like, "Nice car, kid, but it's not as nice as mine." And then he looks over and he's like, oh, and then he just starts laughing at him, and he just pulls off. That's the next thing I want to see.
Yes.
I know NXT's listening to me.
Do it. Make it happen.
All right, we're good.
Okay. You want to talk about the Adam Cole one, or you want to skip that one and go straight to...
Oh, my God. His segment was so good. Like, he's like, "Are we going to do this thing?" And the guy's like, "I'm waiting on you." "Oh, you're waiting on me." And then he gives a hell of an interview.
Yeah.
And then he's pure heel Adam Cole, immediately starts making fun of him. And then who's watching? Who's watching the camera? Oh,
O'Reilly.
Seizure Kyle O'Reilly, who can't enter. Now, apparently can't get down to the ring without going into convulsions.
Yeah.
I hate his entrance. I really do. It's so bad. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like
it. But he's crying, too. He looked like he was crying. Oh, it made me feel so good. I love heel Adam Cole so much.
Yes. So, I guess at least I was wrong about him being called up, so.
I know, but here's the thing. This is why I think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know we don't talk about it, but he's doing an amazing job. So, I think here's what I think it is. I think it's like, because I just watched the A&E on Roddy Piper.
the A&E biography. Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it.
Okay, so they were talking about when he went, because he was talking about his career, and they had Bruce Pritchard on there. Mm-hmm. And I guess whenever he went to the stop before Mid-Atlantic, he went to Georgia. Mm-hmm. He came in as a commentator. And he was talking about how they built him up. So he came as a commentator. And then the commentator started having skewed views, which is the heel commentator. Mm-hmm. Then he started, you know, started doing the stuff. And the talent didn't, you know, the talent's wanting him dead. And then you find out, oh, he can actually wrestle. And he started having the kilt and stuff like that. And then you found out he's actually a really tough guy. So I think this is what I think is happening. They brought in Pat McAfee. He's doing a great job as a commentator.
He is.
But he's a good commentator, not a heel commentator. Mm-hmm. I think they're bringing him in here, and I think they're going to lay the groundwork where he's, you know, he's a good commentator, like, I'm going to say like a month, month and a half. And then I think he's going to start having skewed views. And then I think they're going to bring Adam Cole in, and Adam Cole and him are going to go into a program. That's what I think.
That would make sense.
That's what I think is going to happen, because he's been, if you notice, like, he's still a heel commentator, but he's not skewing the views yet.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be doing the commentating stuff, and he'll be like, oh, I don't think you're right, Michael Cole, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I stand corrected. So, like, he's sort of a heel, but mm-hmm. not really. Like, he takes someone's side. It's like, oh, I don't think that's actually what's really happening. Oh, I was wrong. Sorry. But, yeah, that's what I want to think. I think they're going to let you like Pat McAfee. Until you don't like Pat McAfee. And then they're going to bring in Adam Cole. That's what I really think. I think Pat is going before Cole to lay the groundwork. And if you're going to have a heel Adam Cole, then I don't think Pat McAfee is going to turn heel. But I think they're putting Pat McAfee there to pave the way for Adam Cole to come in. And then they're going to have that program. That's what I believe. That's what I want to happen.
NXT's going to be listening. So, do it. The last match on there was Legio of Corno versus Kushida and the Rascals.
it was DJZ and King Cuerno with Rando Wrestler number one versus half of Time Splitters and the Rascals.
And the Rascals?
And two-thirds of the Rascals.
So I just noticed that, you know, Kushida wrestled last week with no shoes on, and he was slipping all over the place.
He sure was.
And this week he's wearing boots.
Hey, listen, boots were made for walking. Sure. That's just what they'll do.
So, what's your take?
It was a good match.
Yeah, well, it was a great match. What's your take on where they're going with this one? Because like they almost did two stories in one in this one.
They really did. I don't know where they're going with this. I honestly don't know. But let me tell you something, man. The one rascal, the white guy.
Carter.
Man, yeah. He took that bump on the outside. I was like, oh, my God, he's dead. Because there was a moment where it was just, what's the other rascal's name? What are they calling him?
You know what? It's escaping
me. What did his mama name him?
Hold on. Keep on talking. Keep on talking. I'm going to.
Well, whichever rascal it was. The one with the fro looking, he was in there by himself, and he was putting on a heck of a match. Like it's funny because they did the corner move, and all of them were just like clotheslining the crud out of them.
Wesley
and he kicked out,
and Nash Carter.
Okay, so Wesley, he was getting beat in the corner, and they were even saying, like, oh, this is where Phantasmo and crew, you know, KCC, this is where KCC just shines. And mm-hmm. then he kicked out, and then I don't remember who saved him, but you know what I'm saying? But he showed why he's such a great wrestler.
Yeah.
I really thought, you know, and at the end, KCC won, but... And then I liked how they held up the titles and taunted them with it. That was a good move. KCC did good there. But yeah, I was just like, man. It did tell two different stories. But it was, even though it told two, they were just like two in one. It was like the synergy just worked so good. I really loved it. It was a great main event match.
It was. Because I loved it. I think the next the next what do they call
it? The MMA diamond mine?
Yeah.
the MMA pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think that they're going to do Kushida versus Corno, but I don't think I'm interested in the Legal versus the Rascals again. I want the Rascals to wrestle somebody else. That's just me.
I do too. I do too. I want them to wrestle the winner of the match between Toothless Timmy and Ciampa versus the JYZ.
Yeah.
I want to see them wrestle whoever wins that match.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that one too. So. Mm-hmm. So let's jump over to AEW.
Ooh, man. That was a tough act to follow from NXT, but they did great.
Brian Cage,
I was very happy with
Brian
AEW.
Cage and Adam Page, man. That was such a good match.
He took an L.
Yeah.
But you know what I like? It's a bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
This, and then later in the match when Christian Cage talked to Taz, like, it's a bigger story because it's not, look what Brian Cage did. It's, look what I did.
Yeah.
Look what Taz did. And I thought it was funny because when he was talking, I talk to my TV whenever I watch wrestling. And he was talking about it. I was like, why is it what, look what I did? You know, why are you talking about yourself? It's Brian Cage. And then Tony Schiavone was starting to lay into him. I was like, Tony, be careful. Don't say nothing. He's sensitive. He'll cut a heck of a promo on you, and Team Taz will attack you. And then JR was like, you're sensitive, Taz. And I was like, see, JR knows. He heard me talking to him on the TV. But yeah, and then whenever the Christian Cage thing happened, and he was talking about, you know what I'm saying, I was like, yep, that's the storyline I saw it going with. But yeah, it's all about, you know, well, now I'm trying to be relevant. I'm going to take this victory. Brian Cage didn't do it. I did it. It's all me. Me, 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 me. So I like where they're going with the story because it's going to implode. Someone's going to leave Team Taz, and I thought it was going to be Brian Cage, but then they kind of squashed that, and him and Starks are on the same page again. So I don't know what's going to happen. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to think like if Brian Cage does get a title, I think Taz is going to try to take credit for all of it, and I think Brian Cage is going to turn. But
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I think I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I do like that they're starting to build up the whole. It's not what my team is doing. It's look what I did. I orchestrated this. It was all me. So it was a heck of a match, though.
Yeah, it was a good one to open. And like I'm gonna jump around a little bit, but we can talk about everything. But
no, you're fine.
Brian Cage, Adam Page was a great opener, and like the middle, Penta versus Orange Cassidy. The very end was Darby versus 10. So that, yes, to me, that was good symmetry there. I love that. Mm-hmm. So I said, open with a good match, have a middle good match in the middle, which that was a great match with Penta and Orange.
Yes.
I liked the stories that they were doing on that one because, like, you know, Orange was trying to put his hand in his pocket and Penta wouldn't let him do it.
The power of the pocket.
he wouldn't let him do it. And even whenever he was trying to, like, he was trying to hurt his arm, he was having energy to put his hand back in his pocket.
That's what I'm saying because they were like, the pocket's real. The power of the pocket's a thing. So I really liked that. I thought that was good storytelling.
That one and then, like, Darby and 10 was a really, really good match.
I like the end.
I did too.
When he paid tribute to Brody because he wore the armband. I thought that was really cool.
And I really liked that, like, whenever Darby came off the top rope and landed on, I think it was Stu and 10, I think. No, it wasn't Stu. It was 5 and 10, I think. And, like, the Dark Order ran over there to go, you know, help them up. And then Sting walks over to him and says, you know, hey, let it go. He didn't say that, but he was kind of I was thinking to myself, let the match go. You don't need to step in.
Yeah.
And they were slowly backing away from him. So I really, really like that. But anyway.
And I like that our boy got involved. Ethan.
Yeah.
Gah.
I was very happy about that. Yes, him and Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio. Yep. And then in the end, look who came out to save him.
More monster.
Exactly. So I like what they're doing. This is a great storyline. You have Darby Allin living up to his word. Mm-hmm. He told the Dark Order that he'll let anyone in the Dark Order wrestle for that title
because
he has so much respect for Brody Lee. So I thought that was, he's still a man of his word.
Yep.
And I like that. And also it makes a lot, it makes, it even adds even more because he said he's going to do that. And then Sting is making sure it's a fair fight. So you can't say, oh, well, you only won because you had help. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's the extra layer in that is, you know, is Darby's like, look, I want to pay homage to the person who made this a thing. Anybody can wrestle me for it. And then you have Sting making sure that that fight is legit. Like, nobody's getting involved. He's not getting involved. So I really like that aspect. And then I also like the extra layers. So you have Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, who are very good at playing, we're entitled, we deserve this. So they're trying to do whatever they can to put themselves in it. And then you also have more Monsta, who thinks everyone is against him, and you have Sting going, no, I think you should be here. We need to make this a thing. So it's like three stories all in one, but the one thing AEW is really good at is making sure everything flows in synergy.
Yeah.
And making sure that they don't give up on storylines. They may put it on a back burner for a little bit, but you always remember as soon as they say, hey, remember we did this? And they're like, oh yeah, I never forgot about it. And you haven't either. So I do like what they're doing with that whole storyline.
I like that too. I think eventually, and this is just me thinking out loud, I think eventually Jake's going to want to take a break and not do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then Mole Monster's going to go like under Sting maybe. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for.
That would be good. And like I said, if you look at it, everybody when Sting came over was like, oh, this has been blah blah. He's only had one match.
Yeah.
And it was a damn good cinematic match.
It was.
But he's doing like me and you have both said, he's tutelage. That's what it is. If you notice, Darby Allin, you know Darby Allin's good. But since he's been with Sting, he has gone up so many levels.
Yep.
And that's because he's learning. You know what I'm saying? So I really like this. And that's what they should be doing with Sting. You should be, you know what I'm saying? He's not interjecting himself in matches. You know, he's doing it the right way. I'm on the outside. I'm making sure your match is clean. So I really like it. And then he also is taking the bumps, like when he was in the middle of the ring and they came in and attacked him. The little nuances, like he got hit. He didn't have to throw that bat. But he threw that bat and made it look like the hit was harder than it was.
Yeah.
Whenever Hook chop blocked him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have been like, oh, and you just, and the bat just falls behind you. But he hit him in the corner, and that bat flew all the way across to the diagonal corner. And it added that extra layer of, oh my God, Sting really got hurt. But it wasn't anything but a chop block.
Yep.
So, I liked that as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's building those people up, and he's doing it the right way, and I really like that.
There's a couple of things. There was a couple of promos that I really, really liked. I loved Shivani interviewing Dr. Britt Baker and Reba. And she's like, you know, talking about she's like the number one contender and look out. And I love toward the end when she's doing, you go, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Tony was doing it too. DMD with like their fingers.
She made him do it. Here's the thing. She's doing the North's progress plan.
Yeah.
Because she's talking about she's the number one, but all she's been doing is Elevation and Dark and just killing squash matches.
Yeah.
Kind of like the North. Remember, we've been fighting all over Canada. Yep. That's what it reminded me of. I was like, of course you're number one when you're beating jobbers that are in it for just a ham sandwich because they're hungry. So, but I like it though. And like I said, she's turning it to where she's the best. And I like what they're doing with that.
I do too.
But the promo I loved.
Go ahead.
Is Abusive Stepdad. And I was like, he's worse than Roman Reigns. Yes.
Miro.
But the reason I said that is he killed poor Kip Saban's arm and then immediately grabbed him. I forgive you. I forgive you. But he hurt poor Kip. Like, Kip Saban took that really good. Oh.
You beat me, immediately, too. You beat me. I was just about to say that. So, you, like, beat
as
me,
you
too.
Should. As you should. But the funny thing is, it's not like some promos that I've done. Like, they break his arm, and he just watches.
Yeah.
He immediately broke his arm and swooped him and held him. Like, he caught him before he fell. And he's like, I forgive you. And he said it twice. And when you say, I forgive you twice, you haven't really forgiven anybody.
Yeah.
When you do that, that's life lessons. Listen up, everybody.
If you hurt someone and then say, I forgive you, that's it. That's all you have to do. But when you say, I forgive you,
nobody's been forgiven. You're going to get hurt the next week. Something bad's going to happen. So I think he's going to hurt poor Kip Saban again. He may let him heal and then hurt him again, but nothing's been forgiven. You don't say I forgive you twice if you've really forgiven somebody. I know. But yeah, it was so good because Kip Saban was going to talk and he immediately was like, ah, and just attacked him. Yeah. It was so good.
It was. I loved it. I really liked like the build up for it. So it was really, really good. Yes. I like Christian Cage's like promo too. Him talking to Taz. So he was pretty much saying what you were saying about what you thought about Brian Cage and all that stuff is going to eventually leave. So he's kind of building that up that, hey, you know, I'm going to make them realize that you're not good for them either. So he was kind of saying that.
As he should.
Yeah. So it was, I thought it was pretty good. So, go ahead.
And the realism of that promo was really good too. Cause he's like, you wish you could do this.
Yes.
Now you're just leeching off of people. And that's that. Like I said, that's why I like, they add a little bit of realism to their promos. And it makes everything better.
It does. I mean, they're like, there's like, I'm, you know, we've said this before and I know you said it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Their AEW storylines and their willingness to stick with a story is just so much better.
It's refreshing.
NXT's not far behind from them on this. No. Because they have a lot of freedom to do stuff they want to do too. But, you know, like Raw and SmackDown is like the Hurt Business was the only one like allowed to do that for a long period of time. And then what's the name? Aggressive Stepdad was the other one. So,
yep.
So there. So, go ahead.
No, to add to your point, NXT though, the problem is the difference between the two is the machine that they have. So for instance, if and it did happen before when Dexter Lumis was hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly hurt. He was gone and it was like 3, 4, 5 weeks and I was like, man, is Dexter ever going to come back? Because I almost forgot he was a thing and then he came back.
Yeah.
And it's happened with other wrestlers too. NXT, the person will get hurt or whatever. And you're like, is that person? Oh, yeah, with Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
If you think about that, he gave up the thing, right? And we even talked about it. I was like, I was watching the TakeOver and I was like, man, I haven't seen Karrion Kross in a while. Is he ever going to make his comeback? And then it was the TikTok promo.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there he is. But WWE, the machine they have, they're good at making you forget people are there.
Yeah.
So if they're gone for more than like 2 weeks, you forget that they actually were there and you're like, oh, hey, that's right, he works there. The difference between them and AEW is AEW, you can have a feud go for like 2 weeks and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
For like a month. You don't ever think about that because they have so many other things going on that you're vested in, and then they show up and it's like you never even forgot they were gone. You're like, oh, the storyline, yes. That's the difference. Like AEW, like Big Swole's been gone.
Yeah.
She had a really bad Crohn issues thing, and, mm-hmm. and they've been posting pictures of her and stuff. But even whenever she was fighting Dr. Britt Baker, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. She did the little taunting thing, and then there was like a 3 week or a 2 to 3 week period she wasn't on TV, and then they did the dentist office match.
Yeah.
Never did I say, oh, I wonder if Big Swole still works for the company.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, well, we're doing the dentist match. Yes, they're still going with that storyline. That's why I think AEW works so well, because they don't give up on storylines. The moment they reintroduce it, you're like, oh, I love that storyline. They're going back to it. And you totally forgot the person was gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks.
So
that's what I think the difference is.
So this leads into a good segue, and I'm taking a step back. We had an Aleister Black sighting this week.
Yes, we did. He apparently has got his fill in catering. So I really like this because we talked about this mm-hmm. With me and my friends when we were at the Rebellion party.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a group of people that do a show called Wrestle Talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're over in the UK. Like a year, maybe almost 2 years now, they did fantasy booking when Aleister Black got called up.
Yeah.
Right? And he was really big. And they did fantasy booking. How would you fantasy book Aleister Black? And I can't remember if it was Luke or Ollie, but one of them said that The Undertaker was going to be his like sensei slash mentor, and he was going to give him the power that the Undertaker had. And he was going to become the new face of fear. Then, you know, the new, because, you know, his entrance was, you know, like he's already in the dark arts. So it's just a thing. And the Undertaker is going to be his mentor. He's going to be the guy in the shadows, this, and that. And it was really, really good. And then you had Aleister Black come back. The best part of the whole promo was the 80s serial killer glasses.
Yes. I love that.
That added the extra little oomph to the eeriness.
Yeah.
But then they did the dragon, and the artist that did that also does a few other things for WWE. But the Dark Father looks very eerily like the Undertaker. The way he's drawn.
Yes.
So I really hope this is what they're doing. And again, like I said, I mean, like I watched the WWE Treasure Show on A&E, and they did the Undertaker, and he literally. So they're going out finding the treasures and stuff like that. And like the first week was Mankind, or Mick Foley, and he had to go find all the stuff, like the original shirt that Mankind had. A couple other things, but this week was the Undertaker, and they were looking for the betrayal urn because they don't have it. They have all the other urns. The purple Undertaker gear when he came back after he was betrayed. And then the original Kane mask.
Oh, okay.
So they went to Glenn Jacobs, and he got the second edition mask, but apparently, I didn't know that. Back whenever, right before Kane came up, WWE had a thing with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and that's where Kane was. But he was known as the Unabomber or something like that, and he had a hockey mask, and everything looked like Kane's character. So he got that whole outfit, because Glenn Jacobs still had it. So he got that entire outfit plus the second edition Kane mask. Then the betrayal urn, the guy who played Paul Bearer, he gave it. Actually, fun fact: Paul Bearer was an actual mortician. He had a doctorate in mortuary arts, and he kept his license active until the day he died. So in, I forget where it's at. I don't remember what state it is, but they have the mortuary. Funeral parlor, whatever you want to call it, like National Museum, and he gave it to the guy that is part of that, and they've had it on there. They've had the betrayal urn there the entire time it's been there. So they went and found the betrayal urn, and they got it back, and they gave one of the last urn runs plus something else of the Undertaker. So they got that, but then they went to the storage shed of Mark Callis, and he had the mask that he wore whenever Mabel broke his orbital bone. So he gave him that mask, plus he had the whole purple gear. Just gave it to him so WWE could have it for their thing that they're doing. But it was really cool. But, yeah, it was really, really interesting. But, yeah, I really hope they're doing this. I really hope that they're doing where he's getting the power of the Undertaker.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's what I want to happen.
Because he needs it, because, like, he's, you know, he's getting a second chance here, and hopefully, you know, he runs with it, so.
God. I hope they let him have it. I hope it's not a stupid angle to put him in mid-card.
Yeah. So.
That would piss me off.
That, you know, we actually covered a lot of stuff today.
We sure did. We had a lot to cover over the last, NXT UK, they brought back Mustache Mountain.
Okay.
They actually did it. Joey was telling me about it. And then also Joey said NXT UK really likes to promote new people. Like they are something huge. And then immediately make them lose.
Yeah. Joey's our inside to UK.
NXT UK. Yeah. He said, oh, yeah. And it was just funny because he said last week he was super excited because Mustache Mountain made their debut again. But yeah, he just said apparently they're building up a new guy just to immediately make him lose. Yay, go WWE.
I think we can actually close the show with all this great NXT UK stuff. So,
well, we do have to. I know we missed a week.
Yeah.
Because of a thing, but our beloved main host, I'm just the co-host, but our founder, Mr. Bobby Dominguez, is going to be gone, so we're probably going to be off for a couple weeks. So
yeah,
but we'll still be posting on the Facebook page and Twitter and all that. But yeah, we're going to take at least maybe one, if not 2 weeks off.
So. Right. So I have like a medical procedure that I got to do, and I got to make sure that I'm okay and healthy and and you know, not stressed. So
yeah, no, you definitely. I've gone through a procedure sort of like that. So
similar,
I know,
yeah.
Yeah, so I know definitely it's a big thing because you got to be very careful. But yeah, right. So we'll probably be gone for a couple weeks.
So I'll post whenever we're gonna come back on. So our page is growing pretty good. So we're almost at 3,000. So.
Big 3K.
Yeah.
So. Mr. Baseball.
But thanks for coming on, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
And then we'll post again whenever we're ready to do a show again. So.
Yep.
All right.
Come back even better than ever. Pow, pow.
All right. Good night.
Good night.